Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be back with you tonight. I want you to take your Bible, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Appreciate that talk there, preacher, about me. But, you know, we're just in this for the Lord. You're in it for the Lord. And I don't want it to change either. And it's amazing you talked about the old past, because that's what we're going to talk about for a while tonight. Jeremiah chapter 6, would you stand with me as we read the Word of God together tonight? Do that out of honor and respect for God's Word. They did it in the Old Testament. You go back and read, they stood for a long time.
Yes, sir.
Amen? And we get people that gripe and complain because they had to stand up and read for 2 or 3 minutes. So that's not you. I know that. I've been around all of you. You're happy about everything. Amen? Jeremiah chapter 6, I want to begin reading in verse number 6. The Bible said, "For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, hew ye down trees," watch it now, "and cast them out against Jerusalem." This is the city to be visited. "She is holy," watch it now, "she is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, let my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited." I think you can already tell that God's a little bit beside them. He's a little bit upset with them. Verse number 9, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days. And their houses," stay with me now, "shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even of the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness." By the way, that sounds like America today. "And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely." Thinking about it, the prophet and the priest are dealing falsely even. "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. And at the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord." Now notice verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way." What ways? God's ways. "And see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." I want you to go back before you sit down to chapter 5 for just a moment. I want to give you a little foundation leading up to what we just read, God's instruction and warning. In verse 25 of chapter 5, it says, "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that set a snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich." By the way, a lot of times we as pastors and preachers do not know what goes on in the homes of our people. We'd like to think that they're all doing well, like to think that they're all praying together and studying the Word of God together, reading the Word of God together and living for God, but we don't know that. But I tell you who does know, God knows. And that's what we're reading about here. Let me just drop down verse 29. "Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And thy people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof?" Father in heaven, we love you. Thank you for the precious Word of God. Lord, I have no idea other than your perfect will for me this night before these people to preach this message. Lord, I do know tonight will be some repetitious things from the very beginning of this meeting. But undoubtedly, Lord, that's something you want all of us to hear. And so I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'll use it, Lord, that you'll write it indelibly upon our hearts, not just our ears, not just within the sight of our eyes tonight, but, Lord, deep in our heart, that you write it indelibly for the rest of the life that we have here before we go to heaven to be with you. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake only we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on this subject tonight. We've got to go back. We've got to go back. I went back and read to you in chapter 5, the foundation leading up to God's instruction and warning in our text. The sentence has been given in verses 1 through 14 of our text today, and we'll read some of that again in a moment. But God's answer is found in verse 15. Look at John chapter 6, verse 15. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. By the way, God always visits sin. Unrepented sin. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord. Listen to it. Stand you in the way. What way? God's way. God's word. God's will. And see and ask for the old path. By the way, God laid a path for mankind. He laid it in the Garden of Eden. That didn't work out real well, did it? By the way, people suffer because of that, and you're found in your sin before you got saved because of what Adam and Eve did there in that garden that day. It's been like that off and on, of course, throughout all of life as we know it. And God's given us a path. God's given us ways to live by. He's given us ways to be saved by. And we have to understand it's not going to change in God's mind. It's not going to change according to God's will, but it does change according to our finite mind. It does change according to our will, if you will. And even as children of God, we sometimes get off that beaten path that God has laid down for us. And ladies and gentlemen, the old paths that God speaks of here are not antiquated. It means they're not out of date. That means they're going to be set in cement, hear me, even for eternity, if you will. They are rock solid for eternity. Amen. The problem in our day is much like it was here in the day of Jeremiah. Our generation is attempting to soften God's word to make it easier for you to listen to so that you don't end up getting mad at the preacher. Or if he, for some reason, just happens to preach on the same subject for 4 weeks in a row during a month given, there's a reason for that. He's trying to keep you in the way of God. He's trying to keep you in that straight and narrow way, if you will. He's trying to keep you focused on the old paths. And our generation, though, are trying to change, as you heard your preacher speak just a moment ago. And listen to me, I see it all around when we travel, how things are changing. You can see it when you walk into a church. You can hear it in the music when you get there. And there's some churches I wouldn't go back to, not that I hate them, not that I dislike them, but I don't like the direction they're going, and there's no need to put my mind or my heart or my eyes upon that. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible said in Romans 9:33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He's talking about Christ. Not everybody in the world, including the Jew, by the way, believes in Christ. Not everybody believes in him as the only Savior, if you will, or God in the flesh. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 61, these words. After giving them instructions to follow these words, Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. Did you hear that key word, disciples? Those are those who are followers of Christ. You are a disciple of the Lord tonight. You're a follower of the Lord. If you're born again, you have become a follower of the Lord. But he knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, and he said to them, doth this offend you? Doth what? Does my word offend you? Does that which I have just spoken to you offend you? And by the way, if the word of God don't offend you, something's wrong.
Yes, sir.
Now, there's time where it won't offend you, but it'll strengthen you. It'll build you. And by the way, even that which offends you, if you get right, will build you and grow you in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the way, in that same chapter there, over in John chapter 6, wasn't but just a little bit later, and listen to me carefully, in John chapter 6 and verse 66, The Bible said from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Think about that. Think about in the Lord's day when he walked amongst them, when he brought them to a saving knowledge of himself, and yet when he got, hear me, when he got back to God's old path, when he got back to thus saith the Lord, they decided they didn't want any more of it. In his day, think about it in this day. People are turning to the left, turning every which way but the right way. They're not on the path that God has originally set for them. And we're seeing churches fail. We're seeing churches, listen, some of them not even having Sunday night services anymore, preacher. They're not having Wednesday night service. Why do you even have a church? My Bible tells me they met day by day in the New Testament. I guarantee you, if we started meeting every day, even the Baptists would become Catholic. Amen? They meet once a week, and maybe meet once a week anyways. 1 Corinthians 1:23 says this. I got some preaching points here in a minute, I think. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jew a stumbling block. Did you hear that? Unto the Jew a stumbling block, by the way, to many of us Gentiles as well. An offense, if you will. And unto the Greek, which would be you and I in that category, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, or Gentile, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Well, I'm glad I stand in the power of God tonight. Amen. And you do too. If you're right with God, you stand in the power of God. Hear me now. You stand in the presence of God. You stand in the purpose of God for your life, in the wisdom of God. And ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is an offense. It is a stumbling block, but only to them who are unsaved or those who are living like they are unsaved, even though they are saved. That's called backslidden Christians. It's called cold-hearted Christians, not being thankful for what God's done in their life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. All right, is that my water, preacher?
Yep.
It's all that good food I just ate over at that house. And I'm telling you, make you thirsty and make you hungry again, too. Good stuff. So where do you eat? None of your business. I don't want you going back over and getting the rest of it, amen? In fact, I think he brought it to the preacher and his wife and family. Good stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look down at verse number 14. I think I'll get there in a minute. I turned over there and it flipped back the other way. How many is here with me tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
That's good because I'm not so sure I am. Amen. Hey, I like to have a good time in the Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. The Bible said, be ye not unequally yoked together as with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? How many realize that when you got saved, you became righteous in Christ Jesus? And that you and I have no business running around with the unrighteous crowd. Now, we got them in our family. We got them as neighbors. The unrighteous crowd, are y'all listening to me? It doesn't mean we just cast them off, but we don't run with them. Hello?
Amen.
It'd do us well to learn that. I don't run with my siblings. I love them, pray for them, but I'm not going the places they go. I'm going to do the things they do. I'm not going to speak the way they speak. And I'm not going to stay out of God's will like they're doing today. I'm just not going to do it. And the Bible is clear about it. It's called old paths. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? None. What communion hath light, and you are the light of the world, with darkness? None. What concord hath Christ with Belial or the devil? None. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? You ought to have no part with an infidel other than trying to get them to be saved.
Amen.
And what agreement hath the temple of God? And by the way, ye are the temple of God. What? Listen. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. Boy, that gets me every time I read that. As rotten as I am, God dwells in me. I know you're sweet and you're just lovable and I'm really not that lovable sometimes, not that sweet sometimes, kind of sour. But God, listen, God decided to save me and take up an abode in me. Think about how much worse I'd be if he wasn't there. Amen? By the way, we can shove him to the side real easy if we don't listen to these scriptures and live by them. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Watch it now, verse 17. Wherefore, what's them next two words? Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I don't know about you, I want the hands of Jesus out here. I want Him to receive me. I want Him to be there when I need Him. And He will be. But if I decide to run with the rest of the crowd out there and count my salvation nothing, if you will, or little, if you will, He's there, but He's there when I repent. He's there when I confess my sins and get it together and get it right. So we're to come out from among them. By the way, when I got saved, I came out from the worldly crowd. Didn't run around them. Didn't go anywhere near them. Gave up cigarettes way back. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
I know that's old-timey preaching, but that's what I call old paths. Amen. He said, come out, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And he goes on, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith, watch it now, the Lord Almighty. So when Jesus speaks, God the Father speaks. Well, that's good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. I'm having fun with myself up here, amen. But the Word of God is an offense. It can be a stumbling block, but only to those who are unsaved or those who want to continue to live like they're unsaved, even though they're saved. Those today who degrade or have tried to lower or dishonor the need in our Christian life of sanctification. Sanctification means to become holy like God. And by the way, I wrote it in here. Where is holiness today? Where is holiness in the Christian life? Where we live the right kind of life. We look the right kind of life. We dress the right kind of life. We go to the right kind of places. We don't put ourselves in harm's way, if you will, out there on purpose. God is not going to let that go. And when I say sanctification, set apart unto God for His service. Holiness. Holiness is in the form of separation in the world. And some who have become part of the world after they got saved. You know what they've done as children of God, as preachers behind the pulpits today, is to lower themselves back to what I call a common sinner. What do you mean, preacher? No convictions. No preaching on sin anymore. Don't want to upset the crowd. Ladies and gentlemen, if I can't do what Jesus did, I don't want anything to do with it. If I can't preach like Jesus preached, I don't want to preach. But He preached out of a heart of love and compassion, and that's my heart. I want people to be right, live right, enjoy right, have a good time as a child of God. I don't want their lives messed up. I don't want their marriages to end in divorce. I don't want their children to run off. I want them to be strong in the Lord. But what happens is it lowers us back to a common sinner with no convictions and no concern for the truth in God's Word. You know, there are those that choose to live that way today. Even after they have been wonderfully washed in the blood of the Lamb, and they have done despite unto the grace of God in Christ, who has raised them up in His own righteousness, and God forbid that any of us children of God be a part of that. I like what 1 Peter 2:9 and following said, but you are a chosen generation. Think about that. You are a chosen. By the way, the Jews were a chosen generation. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I mean, just the reading of that gets me excited. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. I wrote in parentheses here, isn't that good? You need to read that sometime on your own. 1 Peter 2:9-15. Now, those who choose to teach, preach, or live otherwise are seeking approval their own way. You remember reading about the priests in there and the prophets in there? They were not of God. They were speaking false things. They were pleasing and appeasing the people of God in that day, not willing to take them back to the old path, back to the Word of God. Back to that which would help them and change their life. And that's the reason why the Lord was given a warning. That's the reason why there were problems. Let me tell you something. God's given America warning. God's given the local church warning today. And we better heed those things that He has given to us. Now listen to me carefully, ladies and gentlemen. We need a revival in our lives. We talk about a revival and we talk about it as loosely as some do. But we need a revival here. In our heart, in our life, in our mind, all about us. And just live like we're in revival. Live excited. When you pick up that song book, sing. I like it when you pick up a song. By the way, if you're in a church service and you know the song, that's wonderful, knowing it by heart. But how about picking up a songbook and opening it anyways? Let me tell you what that does. If there's somebody in church that does not know Christ, and you act like you're not interested, they're not going to get interested. So pick that psalm book, open it up, fake it if you have to, but have that book open so they think that you're having revival. Amen? So they think that you're enjoying what's going on. That's important. You don't know who's going to be sitting next to you. It may be another Christian backslidden, and they'll turn, they'll look to you and see, and you don't have the book, and they'll think you're somebody, and it'll bother them, and they won't make a decision at all. Be obedient in areas just like as simple as it sounds. We need a revival in our lives, in our land, and we need it now. The hateful spirit of Antichrist is among us in our country and will end up in our churches, and I believe already has begun to filter in. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to look down at verse number 17 with me. Don't have time to read all of it. Ephesians chapter 4, down verse number 17. Bible said, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Pretty much what we've been talking about. Watch. Look at verse 19. "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greed." Now, that way it gets worse and worse and worse till you don't even recognize it. But listen to what it said in verse 20. "But you have not so learned Christ." This didn't come from Christ. This didn't come from the Word of God. It came from your own flesh and from your own spirit. Verse 21. "If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." Watch it now. "That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Watch it now. Stay with me. "And that you put on the new man, which God hath created in righteousness and true hope." In other words, put on the new man means to live it where others can see it, where others can witness it, where others know that you have been changed, that you are a child of God and you're enjoying it. Boy, God is so good to you and I, it's unreal.
Amen.
I like this. Watch this in verse number 25. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For he remembers one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." All these things lead up to giving ourselves open, if you will, to Satan and his attack upon our own individual life. This is after we get saved. And you know, we need to allow God to move back into our lives, is what I'm saying. We need to allow God to move back into our homes, into our churches, certainly our country, and certainly the leadership that we have in our country. There's crept into our churches what I call a new breed of religion and worship. It's religion with entertainment. We've mentioned some of this already this week. It's an acceptance of all. I'm forgetting anybody saved wants to be saved. But hang on a minute, your preacher's already addressed it. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. God's addressed it. But there's some people that should not be allowed in the church until they're right with God. Because they can be Satan's tool. Lost people, yes, we want lost people in here. But if they come in here and they're openly gay and want to cause trouble, that's not what God's looking for. It's not what your church is looking for. And by the way, entertainment's not approved of in the Bible in the way that we see it today in some churches. It's an acceptance of all, regardless of who, what, or whether they'd ever been born again or not. And like I said, we're open to those who want to be born again. All the joy bells, the whistles, the gadgets today, instead of the Holy Ghost of God in our midst. The Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God working together can accomplish great miracles. The truth of God's Word and the principles therein are the ways of life for all of God's children. Truth has not changed. Say it with me. Truth has not changed. His Word is truth. It has not changed. Isaiah 59 said, "For truth has fallen in the street," and it has in our nation. And it has in our churches. But what we need to do is pick it back up and get it back where it needs to be and obey the very word of God. You and I must return, if we personally are not there now, to our biblical roots. The old paths that God has asked for you and I to return to. Psalm 11 verse 3 declares this truth. If the foundations of the Word of God, the foundation of God Himself, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What are they going to accomplish? Nothing. I know that's a lengthy introduction and I went to it quickly, but I want to give you some good thoughts tonight that I think will help you and will encourage you. So, number one. What is it about the old paths that we need to remember for our own lives tonight? First of all, it's a path of security. Go back to Deuteronomy. Or excuse me, back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. And I want to show you some things here I think will be an encouragement to you. Not trying to lay guilt on you. I'm trying to just help you. I want you to notice, first of all, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16. This is after the Lord has given His instruction and His warnings. Verse 16, again, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the, what's them next two words?
Good way.
Walk therein and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Do not. I don't think you would, but I got to put it in there because God did. Don't be one of those that says, hey, I'm all right where I'm at. We're never all right where we're at. We can always improve in our Christian life. We can always grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ought to be growing and learning and growing and learning all the time as a child of God. But it is our Lord who has told us to stand in the ways and seek and ask for the old paths. Not Brother Ogden. Are y'all with me? He said, you shall find what? Rest for your souls. Boy, I don't know if that does anything for you. It does me. I call that security. Boy, I am so glad. I got eternal security. I don't know about you, but I like security in my lifetime. I like it in my home. I like it in my life. I like it in my children. I like it in my grandchildren. I like it in the churches I pastored. I like it for you. God wants you to know you can have that security when you walk in the old paths. And no one is more secure than those who choose to obey God and walk in that way. Jeremiah said it, it is a good way. A good way. Amen. By the way, those who are right with God never have any reason, should never have any reason to fear the day in which they live. Our Lord has promised you and I that He would be our strength. He would be our fortress. He's promised to fight our battles. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He just wants us to walk in His way, in the old path, whether we like it or not. Security. Oh, that God would give us churches filled with Christians that have no need to hang their head in defeat or ever even think they have to give in to anyone, and especially the devil. We should stand in the way, seek for the old path, wherein lies your security and my security, your promise from God and my promise from God. The world needs some things today from us who will stay in the old path. You know what they need? They need old path Christians on fire for God. They need to know you are so excited about serving God, regardless of what others do, regardless even of what your brother and sister in Christ are doing, even though you want them to live for God and be right with God. You're responsible for you.
Yes, sir.
Old path Christians need to be on fire for God like they used to be. I mentioned it this week. I'm going to mention it again. And you don't have to do this. Your preacher is your leader. But good Lord, can we not once in a while just lift our voices to heaven, not only in song but in word, and say amen, thank you, Lord, God. Listen to me. Praise the Lord. Those things need to be offered unto a God who has provided for us. Obedient. He's looking for obedience in me, obedient, but He's looking for you and I to be expectant. Again, I've done use that this week, and I knew I'd use it again. And again, I've dealt with God about changing. God said no. But we need to be expectant in our Christian life that God's going to do something great in our life, in the life of our church, in the life of people in our church. We need to be excited about it. We need to be enthusiastic about it. That draws people to God. We need to be involved. Find some place to get involved. We need to be expecting God to do something that only He can do. Boy, I used to love watching God do everything for us as we started the church, seeing the big miracles. You've seen it, preacher. We've talked. how the miracles come, how God uses men and women. They come into the church, they get involved, and God knows who he needs. God knows what he wants. And he puts a leader in place in a local church to kind of direct that and keep people together and keep people on the same page, keep people fellowshipping, even in the midst of all that. And God gets the glory. We need Old Path Baptists to continue to hold on to this King James Bible. And I repeat, it's the only inspired, preserved Word of God with the English-speaking world. And we know that, but I wanted to say that one more time tonight. We need Old Path Baptist church lovers who are proud of their heritage, their name. Amen. I am proud to be a fundamental independent Baptist preacher.
Amen.
Not ashamed of it. I don't have to duck my head when I'm around somebody else or some other movement or some other Baptist church for that matter. Or any other Baptist church that's gotten off of the old path. I don't have to dip my head. Old Baptist church lovers who are proud of their heritage, proud of their name, proud of their pastor, proud of their pastor's wife. And by the way, if that can't be in a church, and I'm only talking to you tonight, you need to get that right. I don't think you got any issues here, but if you do, get them right. Keep it right. That's what God gave. That. I guess I should say this is what God gave you. It's not a that, amen? But God gave you this man and this woman to lead you and guide you and pray for you and love you and help you.
Amen.
That is a little bit funny. Okay, son. Gear down to... He is of that, though, isn't he? Amen? We need old past separatist. What's that? Separate from any ecclesiastical hierarchy? You know who our boss is? Jesus. Amen? I don't get me wrong. You've got people, you may have come out of it. I don't belong to the Southern Baptist Convention. I just don't. I don't belong to the United Pentecostal movement. I belong to the Jesus Christ movement. Well, you're just narrow-minded. Thank you. Separate from any ecclesiastical hierarchy, but separated unto Jesus, who bled and died for hell-bound sinners like you and I, and his church, and those who make up his church. We need those that are separate from the world's way. And I've already been over that in reading some scriptures. I know this is old-fashioned. We need to be separate from the world's dress.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need to look like Christians.
Amen.
We got this, and don't get mad at me. Yeah, go ahead, get mad at me. We got this Me Too movement today. I know what they're saying. Hey, we're all somebody. I understand that, but we're really nobody if we're not in Christ.
Yes, sir.
You're a human being, I know that, but let's not forget God allowed you to be born. And I'm not going to give praise and honor and glory to those who murder babies. Well, they got their rights. No, they don't have a right. Well, you think they do. Well, this Bible in the old past said they don't have a right. This Bible said when they take the life of a baby, it's murder.
Yes,
period.
Amen.
See, this is what happens in our church movement today. We don't want to offend the crowd. We'll get offended. Because all we're doing, by the grace of God, if we ever get outside of this, I ain't got much to say. By the way, I'm repetitious this week. This is repetitious.
Amen.
You read it and see if it didn't go over and over and over. My goodness, when God going to get off that? When we get back on the old paths. And I'm having a good time whether you are or not. We need to be separate from the world's behavior. Separate from the religious entertainment movement that I spoke about a little earlier.
Amen.
You know, it was the Lord Himself who said this in John 17:14. I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them. It's in the Lord's day. Do you think it's any better today? Question. Anybody hates you because you're a Christian? Anybody hates you because you bring them the word? They're out there. But if you haven't run into them, you probably haven't presented the gospel enough. Yeah. Do you like that little puppy dog in the back end of that 57 Chevrolet? As you're riding down the road. Any of you remember that? Y'all ain't old enough, are you? You set that little thing up in the window, put them up in the window, and you're riding down the road and you just head just back. Some of you remember, don't you? Old people. Amen. I got a little badge I didn't bring. I was going to be nice this time. I have a little badge that says, I love old people. Amen. I do. I is one. He said, I have given them thy word and the world hath hated them. By the way, where is that today? Because they are not of this what? World. Even as I am not of this world, Jesus said. We're not of this world. We live in this world, but we're not of this world in the way that it conducts itself. This is our world. This is the old paths that we're to be living on and in. By the way, how is a child of God to conduct themselves in a world that has, for the most part, rejected the Lord Jesus? When so many choose not to care about what God says to them anyway, about the way to live, about the way not to live. What was it the closest apostle to the Lord, John the Beloved, said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16? Hear it. Word of God. 1 John chapter 2, 15 and 16. Love not the world. Neither, hang on now, this is really going to get you, the things that are in the world. I got a whole list that I can't go into tonight. If any man love the world, by the way, ladies, don't get mad at me. That means men and women, boys and girls. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Think about that. Powerful. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, we all have that. We've done talked about it. Paul struggled with it. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's not the old past. We're to live away from, separate from the world. And the Lord went on to say in that same chapter, verse 17, and the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, by the way, you don't do the will of God to abide forever. You do the will of God because you have been made to abide forever in your salvation in Christ Jesus. Now, I like what it says here. Talk about security. When he uses those two words, abideth forever, that's pretty secure for me. How about you? Huh? You know what we need? We need some old past soul winners. Old Passover. This is the great commission left to you and I as children of God to be faithful to carry it out. We've had it this week, and what a wonderful time we have. Don't give it up. Don't give it up when the revival week goes away. Stay on it. Stay on top of it. Stay involved in it. Don't wait till Saturday. Go out during the week when you're out on your own. Take your gospel tract in your church. I'm just giving you practical things here, but true thing. The old paths. This is how him and I, God called us. This is the schools we went to. This is the book that we use. Same book we're trying to get you to read and to learn and obey. Old past soul winners. I remember what Jesus said. He said, greater works than these shall you do in my name. Think about that. Greater what works? He came to seek and what? Save those that were lost. He said, you're going to do greater works than I ever did. Question, are we? Are we doing greater works than he is? And there's some other things to be added to that. But he said, greater works than these shall you do in my name. And Jesus spoke in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I said it earlier, I'll say it again, soul winning is dying in so many of our churches. I've also said this many times, I don't care what they call it. Call it visitation. Call it the Great Commission. But hear me, call it soul winning, no doubt, but do it. That's the main thing. So, church, can I challenge you in this revival to keep it going? In fact, to build it up, to everybody get involved. We talked about the older to the younger and praying and all those different things. Soul winning is dying in our life. And by the way, if it dies in our lives, it'll die in our church. If it dies in our churches, are y'all listening? It's going to die in America. It's going to die overseas. It's just going to die. And we're going to be held accountable to God one day because of it. Reasons there needs to be a revival here in reaching souls than ever before has come to us in our day in which we live today. You know, as old as this book is, it's still the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that gets people saved. You know what I'm finding today, preacher and church, listen to me, I'm finding a lot of what I call crossless churches. They'll have all the different things that they need, but nothing on the cross anymore. In fact, most of the church, you can't even find a cross in the church anymore. Crossless churches. You know, that's what it's all about, it's a cross. Amen. It's all about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, period. It's never changed, even though man has. Even though churches have. You can read them in the book of Revelation there, beginning in chapter 2 and chapter 3, of how bad some of them got, even in that day. And he told us of those that were coming, even in our day. It's always been our responsibility to get the gospel out. You know that. To everyone. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. And all of that, by the way, at the same time. We also need some Old Path families. Those who read their Bible in their home. Those who attend Sunday school, worship, Wednesday night Bible study together as a family. Knowing that jobs do get in the way. Knowing that if you're in the military, sometimes that gets in the way. But whenever you can, and if you can't always, you do it at home. You read the Bible in your home. You read it with your children. You teach them. You make sure they understand this Bible so that they, when they begin to grow, are not going to get wrapped up in this world that doesn't even want God anymore. We also need some Old Path families to be involved in every aspect of the church. Revivals like we're in tonight. Missions conferences. Stewardship meetings. Music God's pleased with. I think we've heard that this week, no doubt. Raising children as God instructs us to do. Strong marriages with fathers leading and loving. By the way, ladies, you may not like that, but that's the way it's to be. And that's the way it should be. Mothers loving and teaching according to the Scriptures. Hear me. It's been said and it's true. I believe with all my heart. Families who pray together, for the most part, stay together. It's just a fact. Families who serve and worship God together will impact the lives of other families in our cities and in our nation. So many have left the old paths in search of the world's way of doing things. That's what the priests, the prophets did that we read about earlier. And God had given them warning. So many have left the old paths in search of the world's way of doing things because it's easier. Enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, but not for long. And can I warn you tonight, there is no security promise other than eternal security when you get off the old paths. You know, your eternal security won't ever go away, will it? You've been saved forever. But while we're waiting on the forever is when we get off track sometimes. And I don't know about you, but I've been there. And you know what I like about it? I know that I go back, I got security in my Lord. Amen. When I repent, when I get back on the old paths. But once you're off the old paths, you open yourself up to insecurity. You open yourself up to satanic attacks, if you will. Well, I like this promise from God of the old paths. He says this in Psalm 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace. This is the psalmist said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You know what David said? David said, you know what? I can lay back and go to sleep. Enjoy a night of rest because I know where my security is. And by the way, we've already dealt with David this week, haven't we? He messed up greatly, didn't he? But he did what? He repented and his security was there for him. You know, if America would learn these truths we're talking about tonight, it would dwell in safety as well. America has left the old paths for new ones of self-destruction on their own. We are so increased in knowledge today, but not of God's Word or of God's will. However, as we live in a world of unrest and fear and uncertainty, and if you don't think that's true, then you got your head in the sand. Because it is true. But if we live in a world of unrest and fear and uncertainty, we can find great peace if we rest in Him and in His Word. And that, my friend, is old paths talk. So, with God as our strong arm, He maketh us to dwell in safety. I may have used this here before, but I want you to go to the book of Isaiah. This thing just absolutely gets a hold of me, and I hope it will you. You know, the longer I walk the old paths of godliness and Christian living, the more secure I feel. Amen. And the safer I am, the more I desire to serve Him as I wait for Him to return. But I want you to watch this. This ought to encourage you if nothing else does tonight. Look at Isaiah 41, verse 10. The Bible said, fear thou not. By the way, if you have fear, hear me now, love casteth out fear. And that's the love of God. But watch it. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Isn't that good already? He said, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. By the way, who's seated at the right hand of God today? Jesus. Think about it. He's our help. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who died for it. He's the one who was buried, rose for it. He's the one who intercedes for us. He's the one that's there every time you call upon Him. And I love verse 13. Boy, if it don't get you and you don't get a chill, you ought to just go get some ice and put it in your pocket. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. I've done this. I know I've done it here. I dare do it everywhere because it's one of my favorite scriptures. Come here. No matter what you're going through, son, you stay on the old path. No matter what you're going through, no matter when the devil tries to get you weak, get you back into an old life, you look up. When you look up, do something else. Just in your own way. People think you're nuts. Just extend your right hand to God. Let me have your right hand. He'll grab a hold of it. And I promise you, he won't turn loose. You don't have any children yet. God help you. But you know what your child does when you grab their hand? You ever take them down to the carnival or the fair or something? Huh? And what do? Run off somewhere. Do they not? And then you bring them back and beat them half to death. Now, don't you ever do that again. How many times have we jerked our hand out of the hand of God? Now, I know you can't fall out of His hand. You can read that in John's Gospel. But hang on, folk. Sometimes we take ourselves by jerking our hand out of God's hand. And yet, you know what He's doing? He's still got His hand extended. He is not going to give you a chokehold. You want to go, He's just going to kind of gradually. But you grab a hold of His, and He will not turn loose of yours. That's old paths speaking, old paths preaching. Don't you ever forget that. If you don't remember anything else, remember that here tonight, all right? Thank you, son. By the grace of God, I shall not return to the old life. That's a statement I made for myself. I don't want to return to the old life that Christ saved me out of over 40 years ago. As long as I stay on the old paths wherein I was saved and saved forever, that's security for me. That's security for you. So the old path, path security. Number two, the old path, path to sanctification. What do you mean, preacher? There's a good reason why so many are not on the old path today. And we've alluded to it even throughout the week already. But just a few more thoughts here. The word sanctification means to set apart as holy unto God. We are to set our lives apart as holy unto God. To be made free from sin and to consecrate our life unto Him. We have been made, been separated from sin, been separated from Satan, but we've been separated unto God and unto His righteousness. And He desires for us to stay there. That's the old path. Live there. That's the old path. Problem today is so-called Christians want to be delivered from death and hell. Preacher, they want to be delivered from death and hell, but between now and then, they want to live for themselves instead of living for God. It don't work that way. Well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven anyway. Yeah. You don't want the road that you're trying to walk on right there. God's a loving God, but God can cause some things to get in your pathway that you wouldn't like. You turn loose the hand of God, He'll turn loose of yours. You reach back up and get it through repentance, He'll restore that. But it's got to be you. He's done all He's able to do. But they want to be delivered from hell today, get saved, born again. But between now and the time they go to heaven, they want to begin to live for themselves again. You can't let that happen. Can't let that happen. God did not sanctify you and I for our own use. He sanctified us, set us apart unto Him to use our life doing His work. John 17:17 declares this truth. Sanctify them through thy truth, Jesus said. He said, thy word, God, is truth. 2 Timothy 2:21 teaches, if a man therefore purge himself from these, from worldliness, sin, if you will, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Listen, sanctified and meet, one ready, if you will. That means to be ready, a place of honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. That means my life has been separated. I've been saved. I've been separated. I'm sanctified. I'm separated unto God for God to use me as He sees fit. Christ's given us a path to follow. The path that He Himself laid out with God the Father. From Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, through Revelation 22, verse 21. This entire book gives us a way to live. How to live, what to do, where to go, where not to go, what not to live. And God has laid it out, and it's called the old path. Amen. This path will always be godly. This path will always be holy. This path will always be righteous. This path will always be safe and secure and eternal. It is God's perfect will for your life and mine, and we are not to try to change it at all. But just in case we choose not to hear the Holy Spirit tonight or this week, there's another path, or two, or three, or four, And that number continues for those who get off the old and tried and true path of righteousness. The wrong path, that choice of a path, never ends up well at all when you get off the path that God has set for us. Separation from God, disobedience, destruction, and for some, the ultimate eternal torments of hell if they never get saved. Bible said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. God's way to heaven is narrow. Not but one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. By the way, in that same chapter, we can read in verses 21 through 23 some powerful eye-opening and heart-searching words from the Lord Himself. That same old path that God warned Israel to return to immediately or face severe circumstances for all of their sin came to pass because they didn't obey God. I want you to go back. I said Deuteronomy earlier. I want you to go back to Deuteronomy now. Book of Deuteronomy. I'll show you something here. Because here's what happens. This is what happened to Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want you to look at it with me now. Don't just listen to me. If you got a Bible, look at it. Bible said in verse number 1 of Deuteronomy 8, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do. How many commandments? All the commandments. That you may what? Live, multiply, go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. All you got to do is obey me. I'm going to bless you beyond measure, he says. Verse number 2, and thou shalt remember the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. By the way, God has a way of humbling us if he needs to. Whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not, or no. And he humbled thee, verse 3, and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee. You know their clothes didn't wear out during that 40 years. Neither did thy foot swell. Boy, I'd like to have that one even today. These 40 years. Verse 5, thou shalt also consider thine heart, your heart, ladies and gentlemen, that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, and to fear him. Let me stop here. Go to verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou, don't miss this, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. And most of us have been blessed by God, by the way. Amen. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver, that would be your money, that would be your holding, and thy gold is multiplied, and all that you have, thou hast is multiplied. Watch verse 14. Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. And by the way, that's exactly what happened to Israel. That's what we read earlier. When even the prophets and the priests, the preachers, got away from God. And God brought judgment on them. Look at verse 5. Let me go back. Let's go over here to the next verses over here. Good night, so many of them. Verse 14 again. Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Look at verse 17. Thou shalt say in thine heart, my power, here it is, and the might of my hand, it got me there. I did this. I built this business. I made it this way on my job. I've accumulated all. No. Look at verse 18. But thou shalt remember, that's a key word, remember. Remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Look up here. Everybody take a deep breath. Let it out. I'm not a doctor. But Jesus is. You realize your next breath might not come? Do you understand that? You understand God doesn't have to let me or you live? And what happens is we get so full of ourselves and we think that, you know, the reason that we got saved, God just loved me more than he loved anybody else. No, God loves the world, for God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. We're just part of it. And we got in on it. And we need to honor God with our life and live by the Word of God. Yes, it's old path teaching and old path preaching as we talked about. But that's what God was trying to get the Jewish people to see. And they didn't. They said they would not. Would not what? Would not repent. Would not hear God. They'd rather hear the false priest. They'd rather hear the false preacher, if you will. The false prophets. You have a preacher among preachers right here. And a preacher's wife that loves God.
Amen.
And I have no doubt you do. Stay together. Stay on the old paths. Love God. Serve God. Whatever it takes to be right with God. The same old path that God warned Israel to return to immediately or face severe circumstances of their sin. They said, no, we will not. What about your choice tonight? Will you? What direction are you walking in today? What will be your choice? Jeremiah was given Israel's answer in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, 17, and 18 when they said they would not. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got to return. We've got to return. We've got to return to the old paths for our lives, for our churches, for our home, for our nation, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for all the souls that are yet to be saved. Time is short. The old path, path of security. The old path is a path of sanctification, separation unto God. Holiness. The old path, and I'm not going to preach these, I don't have time. The path of service. Stay busy about God's business. Work, serve, go soul winning. The old path is the path of salvation. It doesn't change. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the old path is the path of a chosen soldier. Oh, I wish I could have spent some time on that. But a chosen soldier of Christ. You know what we have to? We must go back. Hang on now. I know this ain't deep, but we have got to go back to be able to ever go forward. And we need to go forward. The rapture hadn't taken place. But we must go back to be able to go and continue to go forward in the old paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, I'm just asking you now, will you go with me? Will you go with Him? Don't judge me for what I'm about to read. Might even burst into singing. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, you wouldn't think so after I got started, amen? Somebody's going to go look this up and say, well, I don't know about these people. I'm not talking about these people. I just love this song. I love the old life. I remember when you didn't have to fasten the door. I mean when the screen doors were left open. I remember when you could raise your window and let the air in. Are y'all with me? We go home now and it's... And if not that, we got security all around our house. If not, you can do like me. I fake it. I just put a sign in my yard that says I got security. It was left there when I bought the home. It's been there now for 18, 20 years. I ain't moving it. If the company goes out of business, I'm not ignorant. I'll move it then. Amen? Nobody's ever said a word. Nobody's ever broke in yet. By the way, everything I have belongs to God. If He allows them to break in. I'll talk to Him about it when I get to heaven. Amen. But I remember some old things. I remember the old life. I remember my granny and granddad. I remember my grandpa and grandma. I had northerners for grandpa and grandma. I had southerners, Texas people for granny and granddad. It's a difference, believe me. I don't want you to read it to you. I'm not going to sing it. You'll probably pick up on it. The song's titled, Gotta Go Back. And I found it after it didn't trigger my message. I found it afterwards. It says something like it. My mama would sing on that old front porch swing. I was 8 years old. Old hands, good friends, feeding my soul. I got to go back. I got to go back to that place where all those good old days were at. If I'm ever going to get this crazy life of mine on track, I got to go back. I got to go back. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to get our life on track, we got to go back to the old paths. To that place where all the good old days were at. If I'm ever going to get this crazy life of mine on track, I got to go back. I got to go back. We spent our last few years on our own careers, working our way up. With the ladders we climbed, but we never took time to work on us. We got to go back. We just got to go back. To that place where all the good old days were. If we're going to get this crazy love of ours on track, we got to go back. We got to go back. Remember the days when our children were safe and schools didn't have guns? There was no Iraq, no terrorist attack, no 911. We got to go back. We've got to go back to that place where all the good old days are at. If we're ever going to get this crazy world of ours on track, we just got to go back. We've got to go back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go back, but I'm going to go back by the way of God. I'm going to go back to the paths of God and enjoy whatever path and whatever God has for me until I hear that sound of the trumpets. And when I hear that sound of the trumpet, I'm out of here.
Amen.
I'm out of here. And my path will carry me to a place called heaven forever and evermore. You know where it's at, preacher? You say, can you point to it? Do you know where it's at out there? I don't care where it's at out there. I can tell you where it is with God. It's where the Lord Jesus is. It's where my mom and daddy are. It's where my granny and granddad are. And you know what? I don't want to disappoint God. I don't want to disappoint Christ. I don't even want to make the Holy Ghost of God mad. I don't want to disappoint my wife. I don't want to disappoint my three sons that are in the ministry. I don't want to disappoint my grandsons and my granddaughters, many who are all are saved, but many who are called of God to be servants of God in churches, etc. I got piano players in my family, my grandkids. Amazing what they can do. Take after their granddaddy, amen. But now look up here. I don't want to go back to the way I used to be. I want to go back to the old paths the way it should be. How about you? How about you? When I leave here Thursday morning, hear me now, you're left with this man here and his wife and each other. You're going to help guard this and the old paths, because somebody will come one day and try to work in and begin to speak to other people about, well, why do y'all do this? Why are y'all still doing that? How come you can't do this? How come you can't do that? Old paths. Old paths. It's all about worshiping God. It's all about, listen to me, pleasing God. It's not about entertainment. It's not about entertainment.
Amen.
It's about worship. It's about praising God, about loving God, and about giving of ourselves totally and completely, 100% unto God for Him to use for His honor and His glory. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking about. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking about. I'm going to ask the same question I've asked all week. I want to ask this question. You're here tonight and you know you're saved. No doubt about it. If you died right now, you know you'd go to heaven. No doubt. You know you're born again. You know there was a time in your life.